Good morning. This is Dina Maria of Faith Moments with a Franciscan moment on Mater Dei Radio. Well, as we continue our Lenten journey in the wilderness toward the Eucharistic glory of Jesus, our risen Lord, we have some great companions along the way when things get rough. They're the angels and the saints. They are with us at all times, and they want us to get to that glorious relationship with Jesus Christ and eventually with them in heaven. With us today on our Lenten road to Easter is Father Dan Petit, a Franciscan friar. We always enjoy our time with Father Dan. Father, thanks for joining us again today.
Good to be with you on Happy Lent, Dina Marie.
Happy Lent. And it is a happy Lent. It is a penitential season for sure. But as you're still on the journey, we're all still on this journey of Lent. The interesting thing about March is the entire month, we've got Lent, we have Holy Week, and we have Easter. I mean, the Wow. whole thing is in 31 days. But for you, for your parishioners, how are things going?
Well, pretty good. I mean, we have, I think for like some other parishes, we have the every Friday, we have the fish fry that's put on by the Knights of Columbus, which is then immediately followed by the Stations of the Cross. And that's something special. Of course, we have adoration all day from about 7 in the morning till 9 at night for people that want to come and adore our Lord. And that's something also. We're happy to see a lot of traffic through that. And it's wonderful to see how people are trying to step up. And, you know, Lent comes from the old English word Lenten for springtime. It's the springtime of the soul. It's the renewal of the soul. And there's a lot of practices and things we can be doing.
Well, that prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are those traditional pillars in the church. And I thought today we could look a little bit at some of those saints that fall within the month of March that could be our pilgrim leaders, maybe as we're in the desert. We need a leader. We need somebody to help guide us and guide us through the difficult times. Saint Joseph is the key. In March, we dedicate, actually, the church does, to Saint Joseph on his feast day. He's got a couple of them in the church year, but March 19th, we recognize him as the most chaste spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Give us a sense of Saint Joseph in the light of how can he help us walk a better Lenten walk, a better walk to the cross of Christ and to the risen Lord?
Well, I think given the fact that he was with Jesus and Mary at Nazareth, to think of what Nazareth was as a town, it was a fairly simple, low-key town, not a whole lot of distractions like we have, for example, swipe left. We have a lot of distractions, especially with the devices that we have at this time. And I think Joseph can help us understand what it might mean to say unplug occasionally. We're certainly not living in the same time as Saint Joseph, but we have all these devices and things, but I think Joseph can help us unplug so we're not maybe as distracted and maybe can begin to hear the voice of God more clearly.
Right. You know, as we look at the sufferings, the difficulty, and Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. How can Saint Joseph be one to help us in our own vocation, in our family life, to take up those crosses in our daily life?
Well, I think of Saint Joseph as being so responsible as a father of the family of Jesus, Mary, and he was a protector, and he simply accepted that responsibility of raising his family. But what's beautiful about Saint Joseph, he didn't do it by himself. You remember the angel visited him in a dream. He was doing it with the Lord. And that's really what it means, I think, as a father today. It's not something you just do by yourself, but you also need to be plugged in to the Lord Jesus and have your own relationship with him so you can pastor the domestic church. I like to say in the confessional in the parish here with the fathers, you're father of the domestic church in the way I'm a father in the parish, the local parish, and you're there to care for your children and try to lead them to God, and you and your wife are there to try to help each other get into heaven. And it is something that I think Joseph can help us with a lot, is that perspective of what it means to be a father in the family.
Right, right. Father Dan Petit, Franciscan friar, is with us today as we're reflecting on the month of March, the month dedicated to St. Joseph, and we are still on the Lenten journey. The weeks continue to go, a time for us to change our prayer lives, maybe to enhance them. You mentioned adoration, and I think about St. Joseph. He got to adore the Lord for we don't know how many years exactly he was still alive as Christ was growing, but that idea of adoring the Lord, spending time in the presence of the Lord, we could take that in many different ways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We know he was at least with him for 12 years because he was there when Jesus was when he was stayed behind. But it is something that is remarkable that, you know, of the great saints in history, he doesn't have a single word attributed to himself in the scriptures, and yet he's probably the greatest male saint of all the catalog of saints because he was able to protect and care for and help raise Jesus with the Blessed Mother. I mean, what a tremendous example he was to Jesus to help him, you know, foster and become a good man. You know, that was something Joseph contributed to the growth of Jesus. We think he's the Son of God. He didn't need that, but in the incarnation, he was a boy, just like boys are, and boys need good examples for what it means to be men. And Saint Joseph gave that to Jesus. And of course, Jesus was certainly a good man.
Well, and I love the litany of Saint Joseph. I mean, if you're looking for a list of virtues to follow, a guidepost, you want to have a blueprint, that litany of Saint Joseph. Of course, as the spouse of the Mother of God, guardian of the Redeemer, you mentioned protector of the family, servant of Christ. And then we've got he's chaste, most just, most prudent, most strong, most obedient. And I love this. And Father Dan, maybe you can talk a little bit about it, because in our Lenten season, we think about the sufferings, a solace of the wretched. And Saint Joseph is called the patron of the afflicted.
Yeah, that's something I think St. Joseph, there's so many of the saints that testify to how neglected he is as a saint, so we rarely call on him. And yet, so many of the saints testify to what he's been able to do for them in bringing them back to our Lord, you know, because as we know, a lot of the saints had very checkered pasts. But you have, you know, for example, St. Teresa of Avila is one of the ones that comes to mind who really tried to invite people to become devoted to Joseph, because she herself, at a moment in her religious life, had kind of fallen asleep on her relationship with the Lord. And St. Joseph really helped her awaken once again to Jesus in her life and contributed greatly to her own spiritual growth as a result. But that's one example. There's so many others, you know, the solace of the wretched and the like. That's something that really speaks to no matter how deep you go in, he can help you come out. And that's why I think St. Joseph can really be of a great aid to us in our walk with Jesus. We can come back. If we need to revert, he can help us do that. If we need to convert, he can help us do that.
Yeah. Know? I think about, you know, all the people that we may be praying for and their difficulties in their turning away from the Lord, whatever sufferings our loved ones are facing. And can we call out to St. Joseph? This would be a great invitation during the month of March to really ask him to walk and to be that spiritual navigator to those most in need.
Right. And that's the thing. He's as a protector, of course, he can also lead the way out of the darkness, you know, because there's also in the spiritual realm a lot of darkness. Well, there the dark is afraid of him, so he can guide you out of that and back into the light.
Right, that terror of demons, you know, so close to Jesus is Saint Joseph that the demons are frightened of him and our Blessed Mother. And so, boy, we want to have a friend in Joseph.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And that's why he's always got a little staff that he carries with him. And I remember there's an interview with one of the exorcists. You know, some of the exorcists are coming out publicly today. And there was the story of one of them spoke of how Joseph showed up during one of the exorcisms. And all he did was walk about. And every once in a while, he pounded his stake on the floor. And the demons just shuddered every time he did that. And it was something that really demonstrated that he's not a friend of anything that would keep us from Jesus. You know, he's very gentle, he's kind, and he's very loving. But if there's something holding us back from his son, he's not so kind. He goes after it and wants to free us. And that's the strength of Joseph. And I think that's something why we can benefit so much from calling upon him as our father to lead us back to Jesus.
Right. Go to Joseph. We hear that in the Old Testament, the other Joseph, who is, you know, going to bring all of his brothers some food in the time of famine. But so Saint Joseph has a good name that we want to call out for help. I want to continue our conversation, Father Dan, talk a little bit about our Blessed Mother, but we are running up to a break. Stay with me and we'll continue our conversation in the next half hour.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Dina Marie, and we're back with Father Dan Petit, Franciscan Friar, as we reflect during this month of March, this time of Lent, this month that is dedicated to Saint Joseph, the protector of the Holy Church and the patron of the Universal Church. Father Dan, we talked about so many great qualities that Saint Joseph can offer us, particularly our fathers, the men, really to follow in the footsteps of Saint Joseph to protect and to care for our families. We also have another feast day that I think we won't celebrate it formally because of Holy Week, and that is the Annunciation, that amazing feast of really the Incarnation. No, not the birth of Jesus, the Incarnation. And that falls on March 25th, which is right at the beginning of Holy Week. But let's get a sense of what we learn from the Annunciation in terms of God's plan and where Mary fits in God's plan for salvation.
Well, I think the fact of the greeting of the angel, she's full of grace for one, and that even troubled her. She didn't know what that meant. It troubled her to have the angel refer to her, "Hail Mary, full of grace." I mean, what does that mean? She was troubled by that, but it tells us that she was sanctified. She was holy already. She was really sinless. That's one thing that it tells us. And, you know, the father begins tradition in the Catholic Church. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says that if God is for us, who can be against us? He who handed over his son, what else won't he give us if he's done that? Well, he announced his son into the pure, sinless womb of the Virgin Mary. And he entrusted his only son to this woman. I mean, that's incredible trust. It reminds me of Mother Teresa of Calcutta at one point had a prayer in her life. She said, "Dear Jesus, I know nothing's going to happen today that you and I can't both handle, but I just wish you wouldn't trust me so much." And that's what our Lord is doing with Mary. And of course, he's looking for similar disciples who will be as trustworthy.
That's right. That's right. And as we talk about maybe spiritual navigators during Lent, as we, you know, look at Mary and that first yes, I think we have something to learn about. Do I have a yes to give to God?
Yes, I think we all do. It may not be on the scale of the Blessed Virgin, you know, but it is certainly our yes to God. Let it be done unto me according to your will, which really means God has a will for us, and it's a good will. It's the highest possible good for us in our life. And our yes to that is our attempt at trying to live up to that will, whatever it is, you know. And of course, as I know myself in my experience, I also have my will. And let it be done unto me according to your will. That's the yes. That's the surrender of my own will to the good will of the Father for my life. And we struggle with that, I think, as human beings. We're afraid, we get a little tenuous, but that is something Mary is exemplary in teaching us, is how to surrender to the will of the Father.
Right. You know, Father Dan, as we talk about having these saints walk with us, help us along the way, what are some just practical ways that we could start incorporating the lives of the saints, devotion to the saints in our daily lives? If that's not necessarily my practice, how do I start to really connect with these great saints?
Well, what I generally look for myself, at least, is I look for books on the saints by the saints. So, for example, for me, I like to read De Montfort on the Blessed Mother. I mean, there's someone who really excelled in the whole area of devotion to the Blessed Mother. I like to read that. I also like to read Maximilian Kolbe on the Blessed Mother. I learn a lot from reading his writings and what he can teach me. And what I learned from them is just how trustworthy our mother is. That's what they teach me. And I learn how to try to at least begin to imitate that faith they had in her and the reliance they had upon her. But I think the other thing that I recommend for myself, and I do this as well, is a constant reminder of my relationship with the saints. They select us as their friends. So if there's a saint in your life that is of interest to you, it may be you're being invited to have a friendship with them. Who, what saint is that? And then maybe you could read a life of the saint. For example, last summer, I focused on St. Catherine of Siena. I read a life of hers, and then I also read her dialogues. I wanted to get to know her better. I felt the door was open, and sure enough, there's a friendship there I was invited into. And I think that's what it is. Is there a saint on that you feel there's an appeal to? And I think then you would just take up a life of that saint and try to get to know them. And before you know it, you might discover a friendship there.
Yeah. Yeah. And they want to help us. I think that's the thing, is they're waiting for their opportunity, like Therese. You know, I just want to bring about, you know, this love of Christ to everybody. And so I know the saints want to be our friends. They already are. But have we made that approach to them? I want to ask you about St. Francis. And as we get to Holy Week, as we come to that final 3 days before the celebration of Holy Easter, what would have St. Francis been doing at Holy Week? Do we know from accounts of just how he would celebrate Holy Week and Easter?
Yeah, well, Holy Week certainly was toward the conclusion of the 40-day fast. Like, so he would have been fasting on water. That's it. He wouldn't have eaten anything until he would have come to Easter Sunday, and he would have had a bite of bread or something at that point. So he was very severe in his asceticism. But I think the thing that he would do during Holy Week especially is focus once again on the cross. And he usually was up in one of the hermitages, and he'd be in there in solitude meditating upon the cross. And they didn't have a lot of books, but they would have a book of the Gospels. And he would be there probably reading through the Gospel, the Passion accounts, and meditating with the few brothers that he had with him, and just trying to understand the meaning of the cross by meditating on the passion accounts in the Gospels. That was something he spent a lot of time doing. We call that today, I've heard it referred to as chewing on the word. You kind of chew it by meditating upon it, reading it and rereading it. And Francis, I mean, this was a time for him too of copious tears, because he had such a tender love for Jesus, and he saw the rebut that Jesus received on Calvary. This is pure, unadulterated, self-sacrificing love on offer, and it's being rebuffed, and there's so much violence coming at it. It really became an occasion for Francis of weeping a lot of times profusely at the sight of this suffering of our Savior, who was basically trying to love us and meeting this kind of resistance.
Right. You know, as we enter into this Palm Sunday and Holy Week and really get prepared in these final weeks of the Lenten season. Just some final thoughts of encouragement or suggestions that you have for us to really continue in this Lenten journey.
Well, you know, if there's anyone out there right now listening to this broadcast that might think they're beyond the pale of the mercy of Christ, I would recommend take up the gospel and read a passion account and pay attention. There's so much evil being done to Jesus. And what worse could we do that would finally make him throw up his hands and say, you know what? I am done with you people. I've had enough of you. And yet he never does that. There's nothing you could do that is beyond the mercy and love on offer in Jesus Christ. That's the love of God come to us in Jesus. So if there are any listeners who might believe themselves to be beyond the pale of God's mercy, I just exhort you to come back, come back. Mercy is available to you within the confessional. The Eucharist is there. He wants to unite with you. He wants to be close to you. He wants you to be close to him. That's why he came. And, you know, so I think there's a lot, there can be sometimes people that think of themselves as just beyond redemption, but that's not true.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That's it.
Home. We definitely want you to come home and come into the mercy of Christ. Father Dan, it's always great to have you with us. Just wish you and your community at your parish a very blessed Holy Week and Easter season, and continue to pursue in those Lenten offerings that you have, and just continue to do what you do and to pray and to lead people into the heart of Christ. And would you please help us close with a prayer?
Sure. Let's pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you for sending us Jesus and for the great passion, death, and also the resurrection, the conquering of all the evil that his love received. We pray that we may all draw closer to you in and through your Son, Jesus, this Lent. And we ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And may the blessed mighty God descend upon you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Father Dan. Have a blessed week, and we'll look forward to talking with you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Dean and Marie.